broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and here he is. It's a Monday, and that means we're starting the week out, and that means we are starting the week out here going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And this is a good thing. This makes this a worthwhile radio listening experience, as well as a worthwhile podcasting listening experience. Tomorrow, if you'd like to listen to the show, you may for free by listening to the stream on our website. Or if you're a subscriber, you can get the podcast. It makes it a worthwhile live video cast experience, because right now we're on Phil TV and HD with the roiling and rolling El Pacifico, baby, behind us. And what a nice weekend. You know, where we live here, the El Pacifico, the headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, is on the coast of California, just about a hop, skip, and a jump north of the megalopolis known as Los Angeles. We're just north enough where we can say, we can look down our noses a little bit, but nonetheless, we'll go into town for just a couple of laughs, you know.
Yeah, get going for a ball game.
We'll go in for a ball game, stuff like that. Now, having said all of that, it's foggy as hell up here, and we get lots of barking sea lions and the foghorns and lots of German freighters. Meganos, you made that noise, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, sound like this. They go,
no, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They go, like that.
Yeah, well, you go,
I didn't go, I said, if you listen to a freighter, go,
yeah, like that, but not,
he didn't go, he made it sound like it was a freighter. And when you say German freighter, we have a lot of freighters coming in and out of the harbor near us here. And they are German, and they're French, and they're Swedish, and all kinds of... It's very interesting, man. It's a cool place to live. Really is. The El Pacifico. We love it here. All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If you watch our local show for Los Angeles on Saturday nights, or if you listen to the podcast, you hear me constantly giving our national number and saying, oh, I'm sorry. And I give the I got to give the local number, you know.
Yeah, because they got a drinking game now on account of that.
Well, this is what I heard. There's a drinking game now that if you hear Phil give the national number as opposed to the local number, you take a shot of whatever the hell it is you want to drink. So, you know, bottoms up. Not tonight, but, you know, whenever it happens. In our affiliate spotlight tonight in New York is WWRL, our great affiliate there in New York City, as well as Fort Myers, Florida, WGUF. And I was going to say that's short for Gulf, but Gulf is spelled WGULF.
Yeah, that'd be Guff.
Yeah. Is that, ain't the Gulf of Mexico?
No, it ain't the Gulf of Mexico. Nonetheless, that's our great affiliate in Fort Myers, Florida, and our great affiliate in New York City. And we also have on the line one of our great sponsors, Bob Green from Fraser Foods. Now, before we talk, Bob, just very quickly, the Occupy Wall Street movement has spread worldwide, as everybody knows. It has become international in flavor as well as scope and as well as reach. And we just saw some rather ugly stuff happening in Rome. There was, I believe, a police van or some kind of vehicle set on fire. Nobody likes to see that. I don't know if that's Europe's way of saying, see, we're cool, too. I don't know. But obviously, this is a movement that started here in the United States. And it is one that asks, I think it's a good question. And the question is simply this. I understand we have a right to make money. I understand that we want to make money. And I understand that making a lot of money is a good thing, especially if you can put it to good use. But it doesn't make any difference. If you make a lot of money, you make a lot of money. However, can we now have a discussion on just how it is people are making money? I know that it's legal. That's not the question. But even though it's legal, is it a constructive way of making money when all you're doing is purchasing an asset, stripping it bare, devaluing it enough so that you can interest somebody in purchasing it at an inflated price? And here comes this game.
Phil, first of all, thanks for having me on your program.
Thank you for being with us.
I don't know where to start with in addressing your concerns. I am a businessman the old-fashioned way. I have built and I have operated grocery stores across this country for the last 21 years. We've been very successful at that. And the reason why we're successful is because we think we have, and I don't think it's any secret, we've got a product that everyone needs. It's called food. But on top of that, we have a very quality product. And because we have that product, people come back and they purchase at our stores. The other thing that we do at our store that is different, because everybody that owns a grocery store, owns a grocery chain, obviously, has a something that's very vital to human existence, and that's food and the things that that we eat, that we consume. But we do something that's a little bit different from other stores. We don't necessarily, in our store, we don't necessarily say the customer is always right. And the reason is this. I want to go to work every day and enjoy my job. I want my checkers. I want my box boys. I want my stockroom people. I want my teamsters. I want everybody who, my assistant managers, my butchers, everyone, my deli people, everyone that works for me, I want them to enjoy their job. And if that means that we have to direct the customer to leave our store because we caught them pilfering, if that means we have to direct the customer to put something back that they're buying because we don't think they should buy it, this is what we do.
And well, you don't think they should buy it.
For instance, when we see a customer, and we've done this before, and I've talked to you on your program about it, Phil, someone who is obviously doesn't look to be the healthiest person in terms of their weight, and they're purchasing things from our bakery.
And you're talking about donuts and things like that?
Yes, exactly. Donuts, pastries. I'll give you another example that's a little, perhaps not quite as common. I enjoy my job to the point where I want to be able to make a joke and not have to go before a civil court. And if I say to a woman who is in our produce section, "Hey, I show you where the corn is," I don't appreciate her making an issue out of that. As if it's a sexual harassment charge.
I don't understand. Did you I think you mentioned that on one of our shows.
Well, could you repeat that? Because you were saying, I don't understand. You did a lot of...
Yeah, a little confusing.
I'm sorry, Bob. Didn't you bring that up on one of our earlier shows?
Yes, I did.
That you had said to a lady, "May I show you where the corn is?"
Yes, I did, yeah.
And that was your way of making a joke, but is it not also a sexual joke?
You know, I'm going to leave that to people, Phil, who have minds that work that way. And that was the thing that I tried to say, not only to this woman, but to her attorney. When her attorney said to me I made a crude suggestion, I said, "Why is that?" And he did not want to articulate this either to me or into the courtroom. When I said, "Why is it when I asked that lady, can I show you where the corn is, none of you people want to tell me what that means?"
Well, at some point they had to, right?
Well, at some point her attorney then said something along the lines of, "You know, Mr. Green, you know full well that that is a reference to XY, a certain sect, the sex act." And I disagreed. My attorney disagreed. He said, "The sex act that you're talking about is called..."
All right, we had to dump that, Bob, if you don't mind.
Why is that?
Because you got specific there, okay? And that kind of specificity is not necessarily allowed, but I know the word.
Well, it's you put two words together. One starts with a C, the other starts with an H.
Okay, a little too much information, but I understand.
Did you edit that too?
We had to, yes, sir. All right, so here is what I'm getting at. At your store, you do things your way, even though it may upset or otherwise alienate customers, and yet you still do good business.
Absolutely, Phil. We still do good business because, you want to know why? Because we have a quality product, because we are nice to people that are nice to us, because we like to relax and occasionally ask a woman, "You want to see where the corn goes?"
That's not what you said to her, though, right?
I forget what I said. I think I said, "Do you want to know where that goes?"
And whoa. All right. See, here is where I'm getting confused.
Well, if we could move past that, I'd appreciate it.
I'd love to move past it, but you made a comment I thought the comment, if you don't mind, Bob, just so I can understand.
Phil, the point that I'm trying to make is we don't care what customers think if we're trying to have a relaxing afternoon at work.
And I understand that. I understand that. I totally understand it. Did you say to the woman, do you want to know, can I show you where the corn is? Did you say, can I show you where the corn goes? Or did you say, can I show you where that goes?
Well, the intent was, can I show you where that goes?
And she was holding what?
Well, three guesses. Yeah.
Well, a corn cob?
Yeah. Now, before we get any further into this, Phil, because I came on your program to make a point about the economy and about why it is our country is struggling, I don't want to have to deal with that particular question. You may think it is tasteless. I don't do it every day. I was trying to relax and have a good time at my job.
Well, you're trying to relax and have a good time at your job. Well, you look at a woman who is going through the produce section. She's buying dinner for whoever, maybe her family.
Well, we don't know it's for her family. I like the way people always say, oh, her family or his family, to make them look like they're all American and try to make me look like I'm a guy that runs the Pussycat Theater. I run a grocery store. Right?
All right, I understand. All right, so in any event, you said to her, can I show you where that goes? And she's horning, she's...
No, she wasn't horning anything.
No, she's holding...
Yeah, a cob on the corn.
A corn cob.
A corn cob, yeah.
All right. That, to me, sounds very crude, but...
It may sound crude to you, Phil. It may sound crude to a lot of people, but it's what I do. It's what I do to relax and enjoy my job. The real reason and the real problem we're having in our economy, Phil, is much, much greater than whether Bob Green and his crew do certain things in the store.
All right, and we want to get to that in a moment here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. You sound like you got a busy night.
Hold on for a minute. $3.99 sirloin steak. Yeah, that's 5% fat, yeah. I get into the office, Phil, and we talk to you, it'll be a little bit easier.
Okay. Robert Green with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from Fraser Foods on what is causing, what are one of the major factors in the slow recovery of this economy, something we're overlooking. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, and I believe Bud, next hour who?
I've got Larry Grover going to talk about the Occupy Wall Street, too.
Larry Grover. Okay, great. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're talking to him about economy and employment and what it's going to take to get things rolling again. And you were just a moment ago, Bob, talking about how you approach your job and how you and your employees approach your business there. And it's unusual. I'm not criticizing, but you grant it's unusual, right?
Absolutely. We know it's unusual, Phil. There's no question it's unusual, and that's why we have taken the philosophy that we have, we want to enjoy our work. We want our customers to be comfortable, but we also want to be comfortable. And while our customers are important to us, no, they're not always right. Sometimes they're wrong. And sometimes having them in our store is, quite frankly, not as helpful to us as you might think, and we would much rather they just, leave. And I've told a great many people over the course of 21 years, I really don't need your business. Get out of my store.
And you say it like that, huh?
Well, I mean, they deserve it.
I mean, there were some people that were causing some problems, huh?
Well, the lady that said she was going to sue me because I asked her, can I show you where that corn goes? I told her to get out of my store. And
you told that woman? I mean, so there was no
hold on for a minute. No one in my store comes up to me or says to me in response to me trying to be good-natured and certainly attempting to enhance the experience of shopping at Fraser Foods, no one comes up to me and says I'm rude or I'm a pig or anything like that, which is exactly what this woman said. So I told her to get out.
And then she winds up suing you. I mean, to me, is that worth it? You know?
It is. For me, it's worth it, yeah. It's worth it to be able to control the environment in my store and not have someone tell me or characterize me in a certain way.
Do you think that was a polite thing to say to her?
When I said what?
When you said to that woman, do you want to know where that goes? Doesn't that sound a little crude?
Well, that's not exactly what I said. I said, can I show you how... to be honest with you, I forget exactly what was said. I know what they said. I said in court, which I don't agree with, but I believe I said something along the lines of, can I show you how that might work or something like that. She got angry, and I acknowledged in court that I was probably out of line, but I was feeling good that day. I felt, I don't know, probably had a little extra energy, a little bounce in my step. I think that we had just got our quarterly report in, and so I said to her, I said, can I show you, what else corn is for? Or not, I didn't say what else a corn cob is for. And I know that it now and this late, it sounds a little rude now.
Well, it sounds a lot rude. I mean, that I'm not going to pull any punches here.
No, I know that, Bill. I've been the object of an awful lot of ridicule on your show before.
Well, I think that you would understand that in this instance, it's not such a bad idea. Considering that this woman that you said that to could have been a daughter or a wife,
Yeah, I know that, Phil, and I think, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it behooves some of you men, yourself included, Phil, to tell the women in your lives, whether they're a daughter or a wife or a girlfriend, what is it the kids say nowadays? Take a chill?
Yeah, you can tell people to take a chill, but hey, can I show you where the corn goes? All right, look, Bob, you know what? You fought that battle.
Yes, I did. I fought that battle, and I won that battle. We paid our court costs, but that was about it.
All right, okay. So let's move on here, because really the reason why I had you on the show tonight was to find out about our economy from the standpoint of an employer and a businessman, what you think is the major malfunction, as they like to say, and also what you think could be the major cure.
Well, there's a lot of things.
But also, not the major cure, not just in terms of dollars, economy, banking, that kind of thing, but for businesses.
Well, there are a lot of things, Phil, and I could spend a lot of time talking to you about what some of those solutions are when it comes to, for instance, as you said, manipulating the economy or supply, things like that. But it really boils down to a couple of things. One of them, and it's something that I never thought that I would see, we have a workforce in America today that really is just, and I'm going to use the word, and I want to be able to say this and get it out before we get into too heavy a discussion. We have a workforce in America today that's just lazy. And by lazy, this is what I mean. I'm not saying they don't want to get out of bed in the morning and go to a job, but when they get there, we've got a workforce now that, in a lot of ways, sleepwalks its way through the day. We've got people that are spending more time complaining about the bad money they make, the bad break time, always looking for their break time. I see this in my store.
Would you say that your employees are lazy?
I would, yes. And I'm not saying anything on the radio that I haven't said to them face-to-face. I've said this to every one of my employees with my nose, by the way, almost touching theirs. And I've said it. I've said you're lazy, and you're getting lazier by the second. I said you are lazier today than you were a week ago, and you're that much more lazier than the day I hired you. I said that there was a time when this store was much cleaner, much more organized. I said, but every one of you is as lazy as hell.
And well, how many people want to keep working for you?
We're in a recession. Hello?
Well, I understand we're in a recession, but I mean, this is an emotional thing to say to somebody. How many people are going to stand there and listen to you say that and not walk out.
We're in the middle of a recession. Let me tell you something about being in the middle of a recession, by the way. We're in the middle of a recession because, among other things, we've got lazy people in our factories, lazy people in our grocery stores.
All right, hold the line here. Robert Greene on the line with me from Fraser Foods. What's wrong with the American economy? One of the things is that we just, our workforce is lazier now than ever before. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. Back in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and every Friday night, every Monday through Friday night is what I'm trying to say. We are here with you talking about the issues of the day, as well as on Saturday nights. We have Robert Greene. He's at Fraser Foods. Behind me, Robert, we are rolling what we call in the business DDR B-roll. And
what is that, DDR B-roll?
Well, there's just, if you're looking at Phil TV and HD, and we do recommend that our guests, as well as our listeners, watch Phil TV in HD because it gives you an idea as to how the show is done.
Well, I did, Phil, just to give you the information that I had is we went to your website, and my understanding is that you have to have a subscription.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Well, I'm a sponsor of your program, and so we are hopeful that at some point here in the next few days, I will get that subscription.
Do you want a complimentary subscription? Is that it?
Yes, sir. I think that's what I'm saying, because if we're a sponsor, I'm already spending money on your show.
Well, I'll talk with my crew about that.
Well, you do that, because I'm not buying a subscription to your show.
All right. I tell you what, let's just move past that.
But you understand that, right?
Yes, sir. I understand that that's what you're saying. And
no, I'm not just saying it. I'm not buying a subscription to your website on top of the fact that I buy advertising in your show.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I just wanted you to know that if you wanted to take a look at our Phil TV and HD, you know...
By the way, what is Phil TV and HD? What does that mean?
It is our video channel in high-definition video.
In high-definition, is it on television or what?
It's on the Internet. It's on my website.
All right, well...
Okay, let's move past that, Bob, and let's talk about what you said at the bottom of the hour going into the break, and I thought it was very explosive. And that is that people, in your opinion, are just flat lazy.
That is correct, yeah. Well, I didn't say people. I said the workforce of America is lazy, and it's getting lazier. And I can tell you that that is the case because I have... hold on for a minute. I can tell you that that's the case, Phil, because I work with... I think a representative cross-section of the American worker. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying that they don't want to work. But fewer and fewer of them are motivated because I think there's a money problem. And
what would you say to the average person who might ask, the average member of the press who might ask, of course people are unmotivated, they don't get paid enough?
Well, I would say to that person, and that would have to be somebody that works at MSNBC, Phil. You know, that would have to be Raquel Maddow.
You mean Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow. She'd ask a question like that. Why don't you pay them more so they're motivated? You know what I would say to her? I would say, you know what, Rachel, if I give you another $100,000 a year, would you put on some lipstick? You know what I mean? So,
no, I don't know what you mean. No, I don't. What I'm talking about, I don't want to get into a lot of...
hold on for a minute, because you just got done saying if the worker of America was paid more money...
No, I didn't say if the worker of America was paid more money. I said, what would you say to a press person?
Well, that's what I would say. If it was a bad woman, I'd say, yeah, I tell you what, I'll pay you more money if you'll put on some lipstick and stick some tissue paper.
You know, all right, so we've pretty much decimated Rachel Maddow with the lipstick and put tissue paper in the brassiere?
I didn't say that.
Well, you said put some tissue paper and then you stopped.
Yes, sir, I did. I will simply tell you this much, Phil, before we go any further. I do not subscribe to the thinking that if you pay a worker more money, they're going to do a better job. And that would be a question that that Maddow would ask, and I would say to her, if I paid you more money, maybe you'd do a better job and put on a pair of, put some, you know, a dress on or something. You know, but
she's going to dress that way, Robert. I don't think you're going to change the way she dresses, even if you pay her more money. Now, you may get more money, or you may be able to pay her more money, and she becomes a better reporter. And
well, I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm talking about her job is to be a reporter.
Yes, her job is to be a reporter. Yes, her job is to be a reporter. Her job is also to keep people watching the TV set. Would you agree that that's the case?
Yes, I would.
Then would you also agree that anything she does to keep people from watching, but instead makes people turn away, would you say she's not doing her job?
I would say that I know where you're going with that. And
no, you don't know where I'm going with that. You don't know where I'm going with that.
Yes, I do. You're going to say if she doesn't put on lipstick and wear a more interesting dress or whatever, she's making people turn away.
Yes, you're absolutely right. She would make me turn away. She would make me turn away. And I can tell you that she makes a lot of people turn away if she doesn't do that. And I mean turn away. I just saw on TV here, I was watching it with my niece, the Dracula movie. When they show the crucifix, the Dracula goes, and he turns away. Okay, that's what happens to me when I look at Maddow.
And oh, grow up, will you?
Oh, grow up. I'm telling you that this is what we're faced with in America today, people who don't understand how to do their job. And part of her job is to make me want to watch MSNBC and not turn away frightened and revolted like the vampire that we saw on TV. Right?
Okay, 877-876-PHIL, talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods about... That's pretty interesting that you turn away from Rachel Maddow like you're Dracula looking at a crucifix.
Well, you know, you wanted me to give an example. That's what happens to me. When we saw that movie earlier today, you remember it? I'm talking about my niece here. You saw it, remember the movie? And Dracula went like this. What did he do? Yeah, he went, when he saw the crucifix.
No, I understand. I understand.
That's what I would do if Maddow came on my TV wearing that butch gear. Excuse me for saying it.
That's insulting and ignorant, and it's not what we're talking about.
No, Phil, I sure don't appreciate that.
It's insulting and ignorant. That's not what we're talking about.
What is insulting and ignorant?
When you call that butch gear that she wears.
No, if you're calling me homophobic, that is not.
Yes, it is. That's it. First of all, you've been concentrating here over the last 10 minutes on how she dresses, how she looks. You're revolted by her butch gear. You turn away like you're a vampire looking at a crucifix. Blah, blah, blah. Okay?
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Now, what we're trying to determine, the first thing you said was that there are workers out there in America. What's happened to American workers? They're lazy. Let's go to a phone call. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We have Mavis in Southgate. Hi, Mavis.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm calling you. I want to talk to this man about the comment that he made about Rachel Maddow. You got right now?
Yes, ma'am. This is Bob Green. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I heard you say Rachel Maddow had on a butch. We're wearing butch wear like we are a lesbian. And everyone knows that woman is gay. There's no question about that.
Yes, ma'am.
Then why... if you know she's gay, why would you turn away like a vampire?
Well, because, ma'am, you say that she's a lesbian, and she may very well be a lesbian, but it doesn't mean that I like looking at them.
And are you a bigot?
No, ma'am, I'm not a bigot.
I'm going to say that you are a bigot because you sound like a bigot. You sound like a man who's very unhappy to look at a woman and say you turn away like a vamp. You know what I mean? And I had a husband... And I was married for 45 years. My husband was a gentleman every step of the way. Do you know my husband cheated on me? He had a woman in his life that he cheated on me. But he was a gentleman about it. He tipped his hat. And what did he tip his hat? What does that mean?
I mean when my husband cheated on me, I caught my husband in bed with another woman.
I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Hold on.
I caught my husband in bed with another woman. And my husband was in bed And he looked up, he saw me standing in the doorway, and he tipped his hat. He said, "Good afternoon, gentlemen."
Your husband tipped his hat when he was in bed with another woman, and you caught him?
Yes, I did. That, we don't have that no more in this country. We don't have that kind of polite no more in this country. And I don't know what's happened to it. I pray God someday it's going to come back.
Well, ma'am, I would say that what your husband did to you is far worse than anything that I've done, either to Rachel Maddow or to that woman that I said, "Where's the corn?"
That's something else, that corn. Where that corn line?
Well, I'm sorry if you didn't like the corn line. Real cornball.
All right, thank you very much, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. 877. How do you like that? Her husband cheated on her. And when she caught him in bed with another woman, he tipped his cap. He tipped his hat to her and said,
"Yeah, I heard her." He tipped his hat and he said, "Good day to you." What is that supposed to mean?
Well, in her mind, it makes him a classier guy than you. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, that is about the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Her husband's classier than me because when she caught him in bed, never mind. To me, I think that that says an awful lot, Phil, and none of it's good.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Art on the line from Long Beach. Hey, Art, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Art.
Hi, Phil. I wanted to talk to your guest about his comment that the average worker is... I don't know if he can hear me.
Yeah, can you hear him, Bob?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Okay, I wanted to talk to you about your comment that the average worker is lazy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I wonder where you get that idea.
You're asking where I get the idea the average worker is lazy. I own a grocery store. I have checkers. I have box boys, and I have people that... What do you mean, where I get the idea?
Well, in other words, you work with... you're saying that you work with lazy people.
That's right. That's exactly what I do. I work with lazy people.
Well, you're on the radio, and you're talking about your workers in a way that I don't think is very respectful, and I don't know how you think you're going to get better work out of them when you talk that way.
Well, sir, I can tell you that I'm not here to try to get better work out of my workers. I'm here to tell you, as I have said to Mr. Henry, that I've stood nose to nose with my workers, and I've said, "You're about as lazy as the day is long." And the day I hired you, it's my way of motivating people.
Well, how are you going to motivate people to tell them they're lazy?
Well, how do you motivate people?
That's what I mean about... You know, maybe paying them more money, you know.
No. I'm not going down that road. I'm going to pay them more money for what?
Well, if you think your workers are not motivated, why would you not motivate them in a way that giving them more money or having some kind of a program where they are there is some motivation?
What program is that, sir? Here's a program. I think this has always worked. It's called You Got a Job, and you're getting paid to do your job. And I walk into the produce section, and I'm looking at apples. You know, a lot of times the guy that runs our produce section leaves the crates of apples right there on the cart. And or I'll go down an aisle, and there is a shopping cart there full of the Rice Krispies. In other words, they don't finish what they're doing, you know.
Well, what are they doing?
Well, I don't know what they're going on, lunch breaks and this kind of thing. They're always going on a break. So, and this is what I mean by lazy. Why don't you finish what you're doing, and if you miss your lunch break, tell me that you worked through your lunch break, and guess what that does? I have a better idea of you as a worker, and that could be to your benefit.
And so you're telling people to work through their lunch break, and maybe...
Yeah, you say just maybe you'll think better of them.
That's right, yeah. And I get the work done, I think better of somebody, and I don't think you're lazy.
All right, well, I don't know how much motivation that would be. You still miss lunch. And, you know, that's not the healthiest thing in the world either. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on the line with us. And our number, and thank you very much, sir, for your call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about Fraser Foods and more to the point, what is wrong with the economy? From the standpoint of the workforce, Mr. Green says the average American worker today is just flat lazy. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, is Robert Green. And we've got a few more minutes here, Bob. You know, you and I have been together for a long time talking about economy, talking about business, and you've said a lot of unusual things.
And Phil, not to Chris, you've said a lot of unusual things, too, in my opinion.
All right, okay, fair enough. But tonight you're discussing with us the fact that the American worker is lazy. You also started the program, I thought, with an unusual viewpoint, that the customer's not always right, and that lawsuit that was filed against you for sexual harassment by a customer who didn't like you saying, "Can I show you where to put that corn?" You find that to be an example of the customer not always being right.
Well, first of all, Phil, you haven't said it was not, "Can I show you where to stick the corn?" And
I didn't say that.
Well, you said, "Can I show you where to put the corn?" I said, can I show you where the corn is? And then I might have, and she looked at me and said, "What?" And I said, "Can I show you where that goes?" Now, you could interpret that a lot of different ways. But let's just say that I was being a little salty.
And with a customer, a female customer, that you don't even know.
All right, well, just hold on for a minute. You know what I'm going to do? Hold on. You know what I'm going to do? I want to do something here, Phil, and I talked about this during the break with one of my with one of my managers, Ben Foss. Ben, and you've got a gentleman here. Now, Phil, I'm going to talk to a man. I'm in my store, and it is a very busy night. And, sir, if I could, and Ben got this gentleman who's one of my customers, and I'm going to ask this gentleman, and he has a wife. And I saw his wife, and she's not with you right now, sir?
No.
Where is she now?
She's over in the bakery. I think she's over in the bakery.
All right. If I went up to your wife, and I saw your wife when the two of you came in, and she's, and my compliments to you, sir, she's a very lovely woman.
Thank you.
And she's, well, I won't go any further. I don't want to insult, I mean, I don't want to get offensive, but she's very, very beautiful.
Thank you.
Right. And so, and I noticed this man's wife, Phil, because of things that she, and I don't want to offend the gentleman, but her.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I think, thank you very much. You're welcome. But she really, thank you very much. All right, so if I went up to your wife and I said to her, "Can I show you where that corn goes?" What would you say?
Probably be very angry.
You'd be angry.
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because I don't think that's an appropriate comment to say to a woman.
What does that mean to you?
That you want to stick the corn.
That I want to sniff the corn?
Yeah.
All right. That doesn't make any sense to me, that I want to sniff the corn.
Okay. Can we... We're starting to get really strange here.
Yeah, I think.
Wait, what do you mean strange? I own... My name's Bob Green, by the way, sir. I'm the CEO of this... Where's he going? He's walking out. Okay, now he's leaving. And he's grand. Can I tell you, his wife's got the most perfect ass.
You know, Bob, your customers are listening to this broadcast.
No, they're not. They're shopping in my store.
Oh! How's that, huh?
Well, you know what? A lot of them are not in your store. A lot of them may be at home listening or in the car listening to this broadcast. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand, Phil.
All right. Now, you just asked this gentleman some ridiculous question about corn. And not only that, you said that this woman had a great ass. Do you think that guys want to send their wives or daughters into your store while you're cruising the aisles?
All right, well, hold on. What is that supposed to mean?
I think you know what it means. It means that there's Bob Green in his store at Fraser Foods, and he's walking up and down the aisle checking out the women and asking them if they know where the corn is or whatever the hell it is.
Boy, you didn't even say that good. That's not how I said it. Here's another guy here.
Whatever you said.
Hold on, there's another guy here. Get this guy here, Bob. Get this guy. What's your name, sir?
Dave Berman.
Dave Berman?
Uh-huh.
And, Dave, I saw you with a young lady. Is that
My daughter.
That's your daughter?
Uh-huh.
All right. If I went up to your daughter and I said to her, and what is, by the way, Dave, before I ask you, what is that on your arm? That's a tattoo?
That's a Golden Anchor.
Oh, that's a Golden Anchor. You're a Marine.
Yep.
Well, all right. And God bless you for being a Marine, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you this anyway. What if I asked your daughter if she wants to know where the corn is?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Henry. My name is Bob Boss. I am the assistant manager of the produce section. This gentleman just took Mr. Green's fingers, and I think he broke three of them. He just bent his hand all the way back and busted the fingers.
Yeah.
Is that him?
Well, that's not the gentleman. That's...
No, is that Mr. Green?
Yeah, that's Mr. Green.
Yeah!
What did the guy do?
He grabbed his hand and he just bent it all the way, broke the fingers, or almost ripped his fingers off with it.
Yeah!
Are you going to ask that question again?
What, your wife?
Phil Hendry.